Excuse me. Hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Cheeky.
Bonjour, ma chère.
Hello, Cheeky. Hello.
Hello.
They're fun, but not much. Tim, can I borrow your wife for the evening?
What on earth for?
Well, I've got to introduce someone to this fellow who thinks my wife's tall and dark, and you know Jenny's small and fair, and I thought...
Why on earth does he think your wife is tall and dark?
One of his friends has seen me dining in a romantic restaurant with somebody tall and dark.
Who?
Sidney Poitier.
Why don't you take him along this evening?
Well, your Christine's a better dancer. Every time we try and do the Valita, Sidney Poitier leads. I mean, I prefer dancing with Christine.
Well, sir, I should think Christine's got medals, you know.
For dancing?
No, she got one for being the school welterweight champion and one for her performance in the heat of the night.
Really?
Yes. And once, when she was on all fours looking for a button, she got an honourable mention at Crufts.
Speaking of Crufts, which I don't want to do, but I need the work, I showed there once.
Really? What did you get?
Fine £20 and a suspended sentence. It's something I like to look back on. Which is difficult for a man of my age.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall now sing the soliloquy from Carousel whilst doing a series of handsprings around the studio.
Go on, then.
My boy Bill will be tall and as strong as a cow. Well, Bill, like a cow, he'll grow with his toe held high and his eye standing firm on the hole.
Typical of Barry to fall under a co-op van. I'd have at least gone for a Harrods one.
Yes.
Fortnum & Mason's, I don't.
Snob. Well, personally, I'm...
No! Ow! Oh, baby! Oh, that hurts! Oh, ow! Gonna knock him around.
He's a bit of a mess, isn't he?
I would say a mass of bruises, except I'm not a priest.
And now, over to the sports desk.
Here is a late Irish football result.
Us three, the other lot not as many.
And now over to Wembley for live commentary on the gymnastics by Hermes Blush.
Well, we've just had Olga Nemenich on the floor. Well, when I say on the floor, we didn't have her on the... I mean, she did something on the floor. It's nerves, not her, me. Anyway, she did a bit on the beam that really stretched her ingenuity with her leg over. Her leg over the beam, not leg over. Now she's having a go at the horse. Oh, what I'm saying is she's bending over backwards to please this crowd, and we can all see her potential. She's going over to the asymmetric bars, and from where I'm sitting, I'm looking up her previous record. Oh, God! Back to the studio.
The hag from Harrow is driving me round the bend. I met her once with a friend, and now she calls me and calls me and asks me to dine. She says that she will be mine, and I don't want her. The hag from Harrow is taking over my life. She's tried to poison my wife, and now she rings and she rings, and when I answer her call, she says she'll give me her all, and I don't want it. She sends me bunches of flowers and boxes of pills. She sends me crates of champagne, and then she sends me the bills. The hag from is someone I don't desire. I'd like to set her on fire. She's got a face like a foot and a figure like a vegetable marrow. Can't someone rid me of the hag? The hag from Harrow!
I like good music, you know.
Yeah, but Dennis is a pleasant change.
True.
I heard that.
I don't care. Quite frankly, you're the most talentless oaf with nine thumbs I've ever heard murder a tune.
That's more like it.
Yes.
Here is 101 Things You Never Wanted to Know, number 102.
Cymbals as a percussion instrument were first used by the Kagana tribe in Israel in 1100 BC. They were apparently held lower in those days, for by the 10th century BC, the tribe was extinct.
And now, here is the celebrated Shakespearean actor Sir Dunstan Tamper with readings from the Leeds Street Directory.
Elland Road, Ellaby Avenue, Ellaby Grove, Ellaby Lane, Ellaby Road, Ellaby Street, Ellaby Terrace, Ellaby View, Ellis Place, Emerald Street, Emmett's Buildings, Empress Street. Thank you. I was informed that the remuneration would be in readies. Is that correct?
Yes.
It won't go far towards a bottle of ruby wine. Still.
Habitat Flourish, Space Vicar.
Episode 23, The Venerable Bede and Mrs. Simpson.
Last week, the Reverend Habitat Flourish was trapped by the Saturnians. He wrenched himself free.
Oh!
And returned to Earth. He went straight to HQ, Hetty Quilt, a close friend and transvestite altar boy who lived in Trap 3 at Hackney Dog Stadium.
Habitat, the bishop was round this morning with sealed orders for you.
Let me have a look.
Don't you think you'd better read your orders first?
Oh, perhaps you're right.
Oh.
Great heavens!
What does it say?
I must undergo plastic surgery and set up a business as a private detective in the park keeper's hut on Wanstead Flats. Farewell!
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. Hello, Sam? Send me up some Luckies and a bottle full of rye. 4 and 20 shaped beef pieces baked in a pie. Come in.
Habitat Flourish?
Yes.
I mean, no, not today, sweetheart. Sam Trowell, private eye.
Listen, Mr. Trowell, I want to find my husband.
Tell me.
My husband and I ran a matrimonial agency, and now he's run off with 20,000.
Pounds?
Women.
Oh.
Habitat jumped to his feet, put them on, and ran out of the hut. Cairo, midnight.
Mr. Trowell, I've searched throughout Cairo, high and low.
What did you find?
A lot of attics and a lot of basements.
Behind you!
You won't catch me with that old trick. Oh!
That was just a warning, Habitat.
Great threadbare cassocks. Fat man, they told me you died in Odessa in 1941.
I did. Fortunately, my companion was a brilliant vet and amateur brain surgeon who managed to restore me to life. And now, I'm as good as new. Woof, woof, who's a pretty boy then?
Who is the mysterious stranger? Why is he lifting his leg against the door jamb and banging his head against the mirror? Why is Habitat talking differently this week?
Who wrote baked jam rules in the gents? The answer to all these questions and less in last week's episode on this channel next week, now!
Meanwhile, outside a French restaurant, a tragic figure sits alone.
Ma chère. Ma chère, ma chère.
Jean-Paul, what is the trouble?
I'm not getting ma chère.
Nature Corner. Each week we describe some of the lesser known flora and fauna of our countryside. This week, the large-billed platypus.
A unique creature generally found hiding under restaurant tables. The large-billed platypus is recognized by its distinctive cry.
Do you take American Express?
Oh, that should be all right. And now, over to a witch's coven.
Eye of newt.
Eye of newt.
Leg of frog.
Leg of frog.
Wing of fly.
Wing of fly.
Tail of dog.
House!
Ah. I will. I must be off now. I'm having Hansel and Gretel for lunch.
What are you giving them?
No, I'm having Hansel and Gretel for lunch.
It wasn't that funny.
No, I just sat on the wrong end of my broomstick.
Talking of broomsticks, took the family for a picnic on the river last Sunday.
Nice.
Not really. Sandwiches got soggy. Kids kept drowning.
Leaky boat.
Boat?
I've got a new hobby, you know. It's a sort of combination. Philately and chiropody.
Really?
Yeah, I'll stamp on people's feet.
I've got a new hobby. It's a combination of pole vaulting and reading the end of books in libraries.
Oh, yes?
Yes, I jumped to conclusions.
Well, I agree.
I've got one.
So had Hitler.
Oh. I like a topical, but really, it's a... It's a combination of eating centipods and gardening.
And?
I run to seed.
We bring you track 3, side 1, after extra time, of the new Hello Cheeky album, The Sound of Mucus.
She's got style and she's got charm, and such a beautiful face, and a boil in a peculiar place. She's got wit and she's got brains, and such an elegant grace, and a boil in a peculiar place. She can dance like Ginger Rogers, she can sing like Peter Cook. In fact, she hasn't got a flaw unless you know just where to look. She's such a perfect human being, it's a total disgrace. She's got a boil in a peculiar, a really most extraordinary boil in a peculiar place,
but not where you think.
Now over to our interview studio, where Hellespont Toggle is talking to a man with a problem.
In the studio with me is Fragonard McKillicuddy, a microphone and a jug of water. I'm going to talk to Fragonard because he's the most interesting. Just. Fragonard, I believe you have a problem.
Yes.
Which is that you are physically incapable of uttering any verbs.
True.
And this is due to an emotional trauma brought on by the 1947 Solihull by-election.
Correct.
However, you have overcome this by using a series of sounds. Could you give us an example?
I most certainly... Every time I... verb, I... one of these in.
Does this affect your work?
A little. Mm-hmm. I... as a station announcer at King's Cross. So it is a little disconcerting for passengers to... a voice... ing. The 1344 for Leeds will from platform 4 ing at Peterborough, Doncaster and Wakefield. Passengers for Norwich at Peterborough.
But not while the train is standing in the station, presumably.
Pardon?
Nothing. Mr. Gillicuddy, what does your wife think of all this?
Oh, she's learning to with it, as is my oldest boy.
Sorry? I don't understand.
You a boil. Knights used to carry a...
Lance! Ah, your eldest boy, Lance.
Yeah. Yes, you've it. Nice name for a lad.
But it must disrupt your family life.
No. I home from work every night, through the door and the wife. Then after we've had tea, we...
You.
It's a word I up in the Oxford Dictionary.
Does this inhibit your social life?
No. I and sometimes I a bit of woodwork.
Finally, Fragonard, for any others suffering from this unfortunate affliction, have you a word of advice?
Certainly.
Fragonard McGillicuddy, thank you.
Did you enjoy that, Mother? Mother, do we have to have that pig in the front room?
Yes, it reminds me of your father. Switch on again and let's see what Jimmy Young's cocking up today.
We interrupt this recipe for trousseau gratin with a newsflash.
A small group of men were attacked in Trafalgar Square today while attempting to assert their rights to continue with their quaint, old-fashioned traditions. They're called workers.
And staying in satirical vein, we would now like you to imagine that...
Get a move on. The chaps and I are late for a bar mitzvah.
Who's?
Lord Grades.
He's 72.
Well, I told you we were late.
Incidentally, Dennis, how long have you had the chaps?
Well, I get them every winter, but the ointment seems to help.
No.
Still wax them in, Mrs. Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. John, are you going somewhere after the show?
Yes, the wife fancied a little Greek.
Really?
So I sent him packing and we're going for an Indian meal.
That's nature balances itself. Oh, wife. You said wife. Yeah, it's all different now, isn't it? Oh, change days.
Yes, I read about that. They put him Wednesday right after Sunday. It cuts out the middleman.
Oh, I see. No, I'm talking to you about... Since the last series, you've had the nuptials.
Yes, and Dennis's ointment didn't do any good at all.
No, seriously, John, how does it feel to be married now?
Well, the same, only legal.
And we hear you've got a little one.
Yes, and Dennis's ointment isn't helping that either.
How do you find having a baby?
Well, there's so many problems you'd never thought about. I mean, clothes, for instance.
Oh, no problem with that. Go to mother care.
I did. I haven't got anything my size.
Meanwhile, in a dimly lit cellar in London's Chinatown.
How you like bamboo shoots under your fingernails?
Oh, that sounds nice. The wife will have special fried rice up the nose.
Oh, darling, you remembered from the last time we had Chinese food.
Not too difficult. It was only an hour ago.
Drink?
Like a fish. Have to carry her home most nights.
No. I mean, you want a bottle?
Have you got one with a ship in it?
Certainly, sir. Everything all right, number two?
I wish you wouldn't call me that.
Sorry. Everything going all right, Mr. Carruthers?
11, sir.
What?
Sorry, sir. I'm not used to reading radio scripts. I thought it was a number. Aye, sir.
I said, is everything all right?
Oh, yes, sir. Fancy dress balls in full swing amidships, parade of ladies' fashion wear, a stern and old-age pensioner's bingo forehead.
It's not good enough.
Why not, sir?
We're a Royal Naval minesweeper. Incidentally, how did I get on in the sweep for how far we'd sailed today?
You won a mine.
And you're one of mine, Carruthers. Let's dance back into this bottle and go for a Chinese meal.
Why not?
"101 Things You Never Wanted to Know," number 102.
The outboard motor was invented by Stavros Papadopoulos.
Met him once when I was in Greece.
Did you get his autograph?
No time, I was only there for a week.
Olivia Newton-John was in Greece.
Oh. She invented virginity, you know. Sold the rights to Charlie's Angels, made a fortune.
Speaking of Charlie's Angels, I'll race you as Farrah Fawcett Majors and back. Ready, steady, tin of beans!
I'm glad they've gone, because friends, I may call you friends, I hope. During this series, I'd like to bring you a little spot of warmth, so I've set fire to Dennis. No, seriously. In these in these dark days of galloping inflation and Elvis Costello, a few words of wisdom to lighten your burden. Tim's Cozy Corner. When the skies are grey and the wind is cold and your life is filled with sorrow, you can take the word of one who knows it's going to get worse tomorrow.
I touched her first.
But she hit me the hardest.
Was it really Farrah Fawcett Majors?
Oh, Tim, really?
What's she doing over here?
Oh, she's on a flying visit. There's a spot on Michael Parkinson.
Oh, that's what he's always scratching. He should try Dennis's ointment. Mm-hmm.
She's married to the bionic man, you know.
Yeah, we've just met him. Barry shook his hand. He let him keep it as a souvenir.
I wonder what it's like being married to a man who's not all there.
Why don't you ask John's wife? On second thoughts. On second thoughts. I'll ask her.
Hello?
Is that Mrs. Junkin?
Who wants to know?
It's Barry.
Oh, I thought it might be John. He keeps pestering me. I told him I was a married woman. He took no notice.
But you're married to him.
Don't tell me, cheap con man. Told me we were going to get a television license. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Well, you could introduce a meanwhile for us.
Oh, all right. I've just got time before the cornflakes boil over. Meanwhile, in a vet's waiting room...
Send in the next patient, Miss Elliot.
Mrs. Cow? Doctor will see you now.
Morning, Mrs. Cow. What seems to be the trouble? Oh, well, tell him you've got an headache. Next. I see, Mr. Bulldog. Still think you're a chicken, do you? Lie on the couch. Oh, well... Perch on the mantelpiece, but I don't think it'll work. Oh, dear. Take him away, Miss Elliot. He's laid an egg. At least I think that's what it is. Oh, dear, I want to get away from all this.
Do you want to get away from all this? Then listen to our Tips for Travellers.
The best way to approach the Italian border...
Buonasera, signora. The wife's out. Comprendo, nookie.
Next week, how to explain to an Italian doctor.
Meanwhile, in an interior decorator's, just next to that wallpaper that you know is wrong the minute it's up.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. I understand you're an interior decorator.
That is correct, sir.
Well, I'd like a distinguished service medal for my stomach, a couple of George Crosses for my kidneys, and a VC for, well, perhaps not. Look a bit unsightly in a bathing suit.
Yes, I imagine you would, sir.
There's no need to be like that.
I'm afraid there is, sir. I was committed from the moment I started playing with dolls.
When was that?
Oh, last Friday.
Oh.
And now the tinsel world of Edna Follicle, in which our roving reporter and her team give us the real stories from the world of entertainment.
We've just heard that the BBC have bought a new American series about a group of Benedictine monks who devote their lives to burying dwarves. It's entitled The Little Hearse in the Priory.
ATV are to produce a controversially different version of New Faces, in which a group of failed comedians return to perform plastic surgery on Tony Hatch and Mickey Most.
There was an ugly scene outside ITN yesterday when a traffic warden caught Leonard Parkin on a double yellow line.
Leonard's defence was that the line had been obscured by a heavy fall of snow. Peter said that he hadn't fallen, he'd merely stumbled.
Leonard added that he wouldn't have been there long as he always drove his Ford home at about 4 o'clock. Anna later denied this and said they were just bad friends.
Well, that's all from my tinsel world this week. I'll be back next week with news of a sequel to Murder on the Orient Express... Another film about danger and death on the railways, entitled The Pork Pie on the 812 to Doncaster. Ladies and gentlemen, we receive many letters and postcards, mostly abusive, but quite a few of them asking us to hark back to the great musical moments of Hello Cheeky's past. So for those of you who may have written in, here are about 2.5 minutes... of absolutely undisguised nausea.
You mean nostalgia?
No.
Moon of a Romford, you're driving me insane, for I'm lonely once again beneath your light. Oh, moon of a Romford, as you shine from up above, are you shining on my love there in the night? Will I find her up in Ilford? Is she down in Forest Gate? Has she fled away to Wanstead? Have I left it all too late? Oh, moon of a Romford, take a message to her, please. Say I'm praying on my knees here in the dark, and if only she'll return, then once more our love will burn as bright as your light in Manor.
Ta-da, Cheeky.
Goodbye, Cheeky.
That was Hello, Cheeky, starring Tim Brooke-Taylor, Barry Cryer and John Junkin. The script was by Barry Cryer and John Junkin, with bits by Tim Brooke-Taylor. The music was by the Dennis King Trio, and the show was produced by David Hatch. Toodaloo.
Au revoir.
Come on, they're open.